I'm Rich.
I'm Graham.
And we're here live in beautiful downtown Los Angeles. And welcome back to another episode. The phone lines are open. And if you want to call us, we're here at 800-893-9562. Or you can reach us on Facebook, or you can reach us on Twitter at Matt Time Radio. But where do we begin today? Been an exciting weekend of fights, hasn't it?
A lot of fights because we weren't here last week.
Yeah, no kidding. But I think we really got to start with, you know, with the big news in boxing. Definitely for everyone who saw that fight, you know, there's a lot to be said about the, you know, weekend's happenings.
I think so too. And also, we've got a special guest coming by later today.
Oh yeah, we definitely have an exciting in-studio guest is going to be here with us. And in sitting in on the mics with us, we also have Hector too, our resident boxing guy.
How's it going, guys?
Oh, look at Hector trying to sound all seductive.
Hey, ladies.
Yeah, you know, as Rich pointed out, everyone's still talking about last night's controversy in the Mayweather-Ortiz fight. Controversy or pseudo-controversy, call it what you will. I was there last night in Vegas with a photo credential watching the fight. And I finally got to see today, thanks to Cray, I got to see video of, first of all, the flagrant headbutt by Victor Ortiz and then the quote-unquote cheap shot afterwards by Floyd Mayweather. Now, I guess the big controversy is that sucker punch. Call it what you will, it was a sucker punch, but within the context of boxing, I thought it was legal.
You seen it, right, Rich?
Oh, yeah, I saw it, and you can really tell that, you know, that that Mayweather was just, you know, he really wanted to go for that knockout. I think that was just a clear cheap shot, and he knew that Ortiz wasn't even paying attention to what he was doing.
Well, he had his hands out for like, hey, double pound, you know.
Yeah, well,
you've seen it, right, Hector? I mean,
right when it here's at least from my vantage point what I had seen after the headbutt, and you know, we saw referee Joe Cortez. He deducted a point. He calls time in. Now, when he called time in, immediately when he calls time in, he turns around, he looks toward the timekeeper to let him know, hey, time is now running. Now, at this time, Ortiz took it upon himself to you know, fist pump and hug Floyd Mayweather. That's great, but you protect yourselves at all times. Mayweather, I mean, yeah, whatever. He hugged him, and as soon as he saw his shot, boom, left hook, followed it up with a right hand.
I mean, that left hook really got him.
That
stunned him bad.
6-inch punch, man. He never saw it coming.
Boom. Yeah, well, I think, too, even looking at, you know, the expression on the referee's face, it almost looked like, you know, the referee didn't even know what was going on. It didn't look like the referee was even paying attention himself either. And it looked like, you know, Ortiz, you know, turned to him to say, like, hey, man, he just punched me, you know, and...
Well, I think he was just stunned. But even the announcers were like, "Oh man," you know. I think it's a really, at a time where boxing is not popular with a lot of people, probably wasn't a great move to do. But
what, I mean, was it legal what Floyd did? Yes, it was. He won the fight. Now, is his legacy tarnished? Absolutely. You know, here's a guy who is considered by many amongst the best pound for pound boxers in the sport. Did he need to do that to win? I really don't think so. I thought he was winning the fight. I had him, with the inclusion of that fourth round with the knockout, I had him winning 3-1. And the one round I gave Ortiz, I barely gave to Ortiz.
Yeah, but why do you think that's going to tarnish his legacy, though? It's just, I mean,
did he need to do that to win? No.
No.
But, I mean, he was boxing, though, right? I think also you got to realize what kind of mindset he's in, too. I mean, you train a fight in there. The other guy's trying to kill you as much as you're trying to kill him, right?
Right. But, I mean, I'm just saying, I mean, Most people look at it as a sucker punch, which it was.
Dude, that headbutt was wicked, though.
Yeah, you know what? Victor Ortiz gets no love for me either. That was a flagrant headbutt. At least from my vantage point, last night at the MGM Grand, the first time I saw it looked to me like Victor had actually grabbed Floyd by the shoulders and boom, rammed that head. And when I saw it today on video, I was like, oh, that looks even worse.
Yeah, it didn't really look like he was, like, you know, covering up and slipping to come up with an uppercut, and he accidentally bumped him with his head, you know, which it seems to happen a lot, you know, when they're in the corner like that. This was just a straight-up hands down, you know, head driving forward, you know, I'm going to run right through this guy and, you know, eat my forehead, you know?
Yeah, the first time I seen it, I thought he was just punching, you know, he's punching, his head was down, it was punching. But then after we took another look at it, you can totally tell he just dropped his hands and just rammed him with his head.
And really, I don't know if Victor got caught up in the moment, but at least what I had seen, one, that yes, he got his hands in on Mayweather, and he did land on him. But once Mayweather went into that shell deflecting punches, I don't know if Victor got caught up in the moment, if he figured, I'm just going to maul this guy, but why he just decided to boom, headbutt him, and 15 seconds later, kiss him, I'll never know.
Yeah. Well, maybe he hit him as hard as he could and said, man, this guy just took my hardest punch.
I was there for Mayweather versus Mosley, and I saw, and we all saw Mosley cracked Mayweather hard, and you know what? Mayweather can take a shot. Yeah. Mayweather's proven that he could take a shot.
Yeah. Well, even to, in MMA, you notice a lot of the guys, you know, they'll just one hand out, and you usually, you know, I think it's really out of character where they just will come and as a sign of respect, you know, give the other guy a hug in the middle of the fight. You know, usually a hand out, and either the guy accepts and you know, gives you a pound back, or, you know, you're in a defensive position and you're ready to fight.
I don't know. I've seen an MMA fight where they're hugging each other. I think it was Pat Barry and...
Well, more common than not. Usually, you know, the mutual sign of respect is to, you know, to put the fist out and, you know, not to...
Ortiz had both his hands down, too, which is...
He came and he hugged him, and then as he pulled out with his arms open and...
Yeah.
And say what you will, you know, Ortiz had enough time to get his hands back up before Mayweather threw the punch. I just figured Mayweather said, you know what, this guy's got his hands down, boom.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah. When the first shot, the first left hook, I heard it when it landed. And one thing about being at a boxing fight live, when you hear a punch, there's no sound like it. I mean, boom, when you heard it, it was like, oh, okay, he's stunned. Then that right hand, good night.
Yeah. I mean, but that headbutt was pretty blatant too, though.
Oh yeah, I mean,
it's probably worse than the punch, really.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You know what? Yeah, you know what?
No,
Victor Ortiz wasn't expecting the punch, but you know what? It was nowhere near as flagrant as his foul on Mayweather.
Yeah,
I mean, and that's one point I want to make. That it was nowhere near as flagrant as what Ortiz did with that headbutt.
He should have kneed him if he was going to get a point taken away. At least he would have done some more damage.
Huh. But even, you know, boxing. And when they talk about, you know, the differences in boxing and MMA, and a lot of old school guys that are, you know, they say that, you know, boxing is more of a, you know, a gentleman's sport, and, you know, it has more honor and respect to it, and that MMA is just, you know, more savage, you know, things like that, you know, happen, you know, where these guys are supposed to be gentlemen and professionals and everything, and, you know, it just goes to show you, you know, when it's a fight, you know, it's a fight, no matter what it is, whether, you know, you got, you know, MMA gloves on or full size boxing gloves. I mean, a fight's a fight.
Man,
and
out.
You know, the you know, there's unspoken rules, but the most important spoken rule in boxing, ref says it right when they touch gloves before a fight, protect yourself at all times.
Well, they say that in MMA fights as well.
Oh yeah.
Protect yourself at all times.
That's true. That's true.
Well, you see that the guys will drop their hands when they get, you know, hit in a cup, right? And then the other guy will swarm around him, and he's like, hey. You
know. But they usually will back off, and they won't approach the other fighter as they're with their hands down.
Some people do.
Unless it's Mayweather and Judah. I mean, that.
But that happened to Matt Hughes, though, right? Remember when he fought... Yeah.
Trigg.
Yeah, Trigg, yeah. Right? Trigg cracked his cup.
Yeah, and the ref didn't see that, man.
He put his hands out, and then Trigg just stormed on a dude and tried to rear naked choke him, but couldn't finish him.
In my personal opinion, that was probably... my favorite Matt Hughes performance.
That was a good fight.
That was my favorite Matt Hughes performance.
I think it was better when he did it the second time, I think.
I think Trigg was figuring that was the only way he was going to ever be able to finish that fight.
Well, you know, it's almost like what Hector said, because the ref didn't tell him to stop, so he just kept going, right?
Right. I mean, with Mayweather Ortiz, the ref said, time in, and they were supposed to go. I mean...
Yeah, but even the ref... Ref looked a little shocked at the outcome of that whole deal.
Ref looked shocked because he already saw, you know, when he turned around, he was like, oh, this guy just got clocked. He knew the action had resumed, but it was like just that one moment. Two punches from Mayweather. Bah, bah.
Well, that's true. But even, you know, as it relates, you know, to different sports, just, you know, in our sport, in jiu-jitsu also, you know, when you're in a tournament and if, you know, if the ref doesn't see your guy tapping, you know, it doesn't matter unless the ref sees it. And some guys, you know, it's happened to people where, you know, they feel the guy, other guy tapping out and they let go, assuming the ref saw, and the ref doesn't see, and, you know, and then they'll just keep the action going because the ref didn't see. The ref didn't say, you know, stop.
You know, I know Ortiz looked toward Joe Cortez when the first punch landed. He was like, hey, I just got hit. Well, yeah, but it was a legal punch.
Yeah, he wasn't. I guess Ortiz was waiting for the ref to do something, and yeah, the ref was in the right position. He's like, well, what do you want me to do? The punch is legal.
You know, the ref said, time in. Ortiz took it upon himself to hug Mayweather. You know, that's not part of the fight. If you're going to, you know,
right,
sign of respect, whatever, a fist pump usually suffices. Right?
Yeah, I mean, no, I agree. At least one.
You know, I think Ortiz might have thought of it as a clinch or something, that they're breaking apart, but no, that it would mean time in. It's time to fight.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think people, especially if you paid money to watch it, I think you wanted to see a, you know, full fight.
Yeah, but
look, oh, yeah.
Luckily you get a 12-pack of tecate and you get half off, dude. That's a pretty sweet promotional deal.
Why is that what they were giving out?
Yeah, dude. If you send in a receipt to your cable company, you get half off.
No way.
Yes, dude. They do that for all big fights.
Oh wow. Were they doing that back in the Tyson days too?
No, dude. Those fights were too quick.
Yeah, dude. They
were way too quick.
Yeah, but back then it was cheaper, like $30.
But you know, it's all relative, though.
Yeah.
What is the cost?
The last night's fight was priced at $69.90.
Wow! No wonder he got 25 mil.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of people. There was a lot of people talking about that were going to get the pay per view.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, one thing that helps the pay per view is when you have networks like HBO doing a 24/7 documentary.
But you know what's weird is, like, especially in boxing, they never promote the undercards though. Like, no. I don't know who else fought in that undercard.
You know what? And the co-feature, they had that young kid from Guadalajara, Saul El Canelo Alvarez.
Oh, yeah, that was a good fight.
Yeah,
that kid could fight. He's 21 like years old. And
I have my doubts about that kid.
What did he make, $1,000?
No. You know what? The pay-per-view was dual site. It was MGM Grand Garden in Vegas and the Staples Center. But three of the undercard fights were... Actually, two fights that they aired may have been from Staples Center and two from the MGM Grand.
Oh, I didn't know that. This is yesterday.
I'll tell you, one of the undercard fights, former world champion Eric Morales won a fourth title at super lightweight, beating Pablo Cesar Cano by TKO in the 11th. But immediately after that fight, everyone started watching the TV screen because they did the co-feature from Staples Center.
Oh, okay.
To watch Gomez against Gomez, Alfonso Gomez challenge Saul Alvarez. Then it went back to Vegas. So, yeah,
that's odd, huh? Is that pretty common now?
No, but I know it's happened in the past. I've got to work one fight in Youngstown, Ohio for Kelly Pavlik against Marco Antonio Rubio, middleweight championship defense. Mm-hmm. And there was dual site pay per view from Youngstown, Ohio, and Madison Square Garden. It happens.
Yeah, I guess a good way to get fighters in different areas.
So, would you say that's kind of like something like kind of what the UFC's doing, where they do like the undercard on Spike, and then they bring you to the pay per view afterward?
I don't know, because that's all in the same building. I mean,
but it's great. I think that's so great from a promotional standpoint. You're watching a free undercard, then
we had this discussion last time where when you go to a big fight, you spend half the time watching the big screen anyway. You can't see the action in the ring.
But yeah, I think it's a different stage, you know, an octagon as opposed to the ring. I mean, maybe Pride fighting, that would have been...
Yeah.
Yeah. Pride, I don't know how many, bunch of people in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A ring's a different venue, but I think it would... I enjoyed watching Pride because of that.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And then we'll come back, we'll finish up our discussion and get into the other stuff.
We'll be back with some more Matt Time Radio.
You're listening to Matt Time Radio. This is Moya Brand. Call us 800-893-9562. Skid Row
Studio. I'm going on tour, and I'm going to show anybody out there that thinks for 1 second that maybe I'm second guessing myself, that I am the greatest of all time forever and ever. One surprise. I'm back, baby.
make it off the ice cold streets of the city. You better have a Christopher Word game with it. You better have a dance game similar to Diddy. Or play beat baller but a rim like Smitty. Josh, Chris, Bosh, Paul, Gasol, or any other nigga that ball and tall. I used to sell it white as Paul Wall. Gave my young boy three of them in the mall. And he gon' bring me 75K back tomorrow. You know what big about. You know what bigger do. Ice water in my veins, hard pumping igloo. I'm familiar with the money, so who the fuck is you? What the fuck you do? Where the fuck you from? Who you knowing? Somebody get this nigga, I don't know him. And I'm about to jet off on his ass like a Boeing. Going, 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 gone. So, you don't like the prestige that I have in life? You don't like the notoriety? You detest the fact that I got more cars than most of your friends? I got a big house on the big side of town. I got life pretty much the way I want it.
To make it out the ice cold streets of the city, your mind state gotta be as wicked as fitted. Can't love life, suckle in on mama's titty, cause life is a bitch and a bitch ain't with it. You gotta have faith, living life on Biggie. I'm ready to die for the money, who is with me? Life after death, hey, this must be hell. I asked for six figures, God gave back self. I'm on my way to heaven in a Porsche 911, buried in my car and I'm surrounded by arrows, surrounded by my brethren. My funeral is legend, buried like a pharaoh with my jewelry in the desert. The government, they hate me like Jesus, but fuck them. I did it for the grind, I did it for the hustle. I did it for the people on the bottom in the struggle. I did it for my comrades, did it cause I love them.
Custom made, brother. Woo. And I mean custom made for the alligators.
To the city, you gotta politic your situations like Clinton. If you chase power, you ain't gotta chase women. So take some advice, take cash over ass. When you get money, you ain't gotta take shit. So long as you broke, she ain't gotta take dick. Capiche? Now you know what motivates your beast. Capiche? Pay the mortgage or the pussy or for lease. Capiche? Church ladies going gaga for the Gucci. Yeah. Got two Nicki's Minaj for some Louis. Yeah. I'm with the keys, get acquainted with Alicia. And every other girl named Rihanna wanna meet ya. They in it for the money, got the swag of the features. Pretty parasites might suck you like leeches. Just some information for a student from a teacher. Real life shit, I'm Mike Bigger, nice to meet ya. Gone.
At Delta, the girls call me Cool. At Eastern, the girls call me Slick Rick. And all the other women around the world just say, oh, there goes the man.
All right, everybody, we're back.
Woo!
Woo!
That's my Ric Flair. Wasn't that good?
Yeah. So besides boxing, which, you know, we just went over.
That was a pretty hot topic, though.
Yeah,
I see a lot of buzz on that whole boxing deal.
Yeah,
and we want to leave it open to the audience, too. You know, clean shot or cheap shot or clean hit. You know, let us know. We want to hear what you think, too. So you can still get us on Twitter at Matt Time Radio.
Hey, what's the number they can call us at?
You can call us at 1-800-893-9562. And the phone lines are open.
I'd encourage it, dude. I want to hear some people's takes on this, because I know, I mean, on message boards everywhere, this from the moment it happened, when I got on a few message boards out there, they you know, you got both pros and cons. I mean, you got the diehard saying fair shot, and you got Ortiz fan saying, no, cheap shot, dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, just like one of our coaches I mentioned too, you know, I was like, well, you know, two wrongs don't make a right.
Agreed.
And you know, hopefully we'll see a rematch and see, you know, what the outcome will be from that.
I don't think you won't see a rematch. No point for it. I mean, I thought Mayweather was outclassing him.
Well,
if there's a fight I want to watch, yeah, we want it. Boxing fans want their lottery. They want to see they want to see their jackpot, Manny and Mayweather.
It's going to be an $80 pay-per-view.
I'll pay it.
I'll be at your house.
Yeah, let us know. We'll be there.
I'll be there. So yeah, chances are I'll be there.
We'll be there.
I'll be there November 12th when he fights Marquez.
I'll bring some chips and paper plates.
Yeah. You
know. Right on, Rich.
We'll promote the party at your house on
exactly.
Here.
Exactly. Listener party.
Hey, so let's get into this Abu Dhabi stuff you want to talk about.
Yeah, Abu Dhabi's coming up actually next week, next weekend. And this time it's going to be out of Nottingham, England. And real exciting for those of you who, you know, have never heard of Abu Dhabi. It's a very, very prestigious, you know, grappling tournament. You know, it's actually the most prestigious grappling competition. It takes place every couple of years. It has five big weight categories, and it's for the male competitors, and they have a women's category as well. And this is really the tournament where the best of the best go. This is, you know...
It's by invite only, too, right?
At one point, it was invite only. And
they also have trials, too. That's right.
Yeah, now they're holding trials, and they're opening it up to more talent to earn a spot, you know, to represent their country in these grappling games. And the biggest names are, you know, are competing in that tournament. And really exciting. I know they're going to be streaming it. I know Krell and myself will be out. Actually, we're going to be competing in tournament that weekend ourselves. We also have the switch topic, just a quick second. But we got the American National Jiu-Jitsu Championship. They're going to be going on to this weekend out of Cal State Dominguez Hills, which is the one we're preparing for, you know, ourselves.
Yeah.
And so we might have to catch that on the stream afterward. But, you know, some of the biggest news that came out of it, well, originally, one of the biggest fights was going to be Eddie Bravo versus Hoyler Gracie, you know, round two. And, you know, anyone that follows this part, you know, knows that, you know, after that match, it was a life changer for Eddie Bravo and, you know, hoping to see another one come down.
I thought Hoyler wanted more cash. I thought that was a whole...
Yeah,
problem with that. He wanted so much more money than they're like, we don't pay anybody that much money.
Yeah, and I think he wanted his money up front, too.
Well, they got the money out there, but...
Fill me in. What happened the first time around?
Eddie Bravo, he beat Hoyler Gracie by triangle choke and pretty much, you know, catapulted his career, really, from there. And, you know, it was a really shocking, you know, victory over, you know, a guy that, you know, a lot of people would say, you know, unbeatable in the sport of, you know, jiu-jitsu. And he got caught and, you know, it was clear. Most people say, you know, it was a fluke. It could never happen again. But
Eddie Bravo started 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu, which I think what he says it's more of a clinch-based submission wrestling type deal.
Yeah, it seems like kind of like, you know, catch wrestling, submission grappling, and he put his own spin on, you know, on techniques, and, you know, he gave them new names, and he created his own, I guess you can say, his own, you know, style, his own system of jiu-jitsu, and, you know, he's trained quite a few people.
Yeah, so you want to talk about anybody on this list in particular?
Yeah, actually, well, the big thing is going to be the super fight, Mario Espiri and Henzo Gracie. That one's going to go on Sunday. It's going to be the absolute, you know, actually before the absolute semifinals. You know, just some of the big competitors are going to be there. You know, you got Rafael Mendes, you know, fighting out of Brazil. You know, we have, you know, Sandy, Ryan Hall. You know, there's just going to be so many names. And actually, one of the guys we were training with yesterday, Clark Gracie, is a new entry, is going to be competing. And we were at his gym yesterday, and he's preparing for his competition.
Weren't they trying to get Joel Tudor in there, too?
They were trying to, but I think they didn't make it in time for the cutoff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were trying to get Joel Tudor, which, you know, he's another teammate of ours, and I think he would have done really, really well. You know, if they would have got him on there.
How many days is this running? Do you know?
It's actually going to be Saturday and Sunday,
mm-hmm.
And so that's going to be the event.
Yeah, I think Budo Videos. You can watch. I think you got to pay for it, but you can stream it through them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know they.
Yeah, because I know they did that with the Worlds and.
Yeah.
So, but I think Budo Videos will have it.
Yeah, so, I mean, the best of the best. If, you know, if you're not really, you know, versed in grappling, you know, this is a really good, you know, chance to see, you know, how you know, highly evolved this sport is and how artful it is to see two masters go at it. And, you know, this is one of the draws, you know, this is one of the reasons why I'm so drawn to the sport is, just seeing the techniques and how, you know, how grappling is just an endless game.
I was trying to find Bill DeGrow Cooper's name. He's going to be our guest in a little bit on this list, but I didn't see him on here. I guess he's probably training for a fight or something.
Oh, yeah. You know, I know Bill's got some big things in the works, and we're going to get him on here in a minute to talk about what he's got going on.
Yeah,
we're really excited about our in-studio guest today.
Yeah.
And, also another guy I really want to see who actually has been, he's fought in the UFC, and he's been around for a long time. He was always a really good competitor. Dean Lister's also on that list for Abu Dhabi. Audra Gracie.
Drysdale on here?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Drysdale's on there for sure.
It's a big look. Oh, yeah. Here he is.
Yeah. Zondi Ribeiro. I mean, I've seen him at Grappler's Quest, and they pop his knee, and the guy didn't flinch.
Hey, so what do you think about this random testing that's going to happen? Everyone keeps saying they're going to lose like 80% of their people.
Yeah, random drug testing was announced for Abu Dhabi this year. So let's see who they test or what the results are going to be. Maybe that's why Josh Barnett ain't doing it this year.
I don't know, man. I don't even, you know, I don't know what kind of tests they're going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't specify. They just said random drug tests. They can be tested for anything.
Yeah. Everything but the bomba, probably.
Yeah. That's, you know, it's not a drug.
I know, exactly. Well, it seems like a lot of those guys, they give it to them, you know, in their baby bottles when they're born. You know?
It'd just be, if they do test, it'd just be interesting to see what happens, though. You know?
Yeah.
I think it's important to also see what kind of testing is going to be done. I know Victor Conti now, the guy who used to be the head of Balco, He is getting involved in boxing too. And I was reading an article from him, and it's amazing all the loopholes that there are with drug testing. I think you got a call.
Yeah, I think we got a call on our line. Hey, caller. Hello, caller.
Hey, this is Josh Barnett.
Hey, what's up, Josh?
Hey, Josh. What's up, buddy?
I was going to compete for Abu Dhabi, and, for whatever reason, they didn't let me compete, and, it has nothing to do with steroids or nothing like that.
Maybe it's they seen your last fight, they got scared.
Yeah.
I just heard you guys mention my name. I just thought I'd call.
Hey, thanks for calling, Josh, man. You're the man.
Yeah. Please don't hurt me.
Yeah. We'll see you up there with Eric Paulson next week, buddy. All right, man. Josh Barnett calling in.
Oh, just say no.
The celebrities just keep rolling in.
That's my buddy. You know, Josh Barnett, I ran into him at a... True story. Mm-hmm. I ran into him at a Starbucks in Brea because he's got a 69 fastback.
Uh-huh.
So we're sitting there talking cars. I thought he was a pretty cool dude.
Nice.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen he's always at the tournaments. We've always seen him around with his team and everything.
Yeah, he changed his name because he doesn't look like a baby face anymore.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
What did he know? With the Silent Killer or something?
No,
or
War Machine, I think. No?
Oh, yeah, War Machine.
War Machine?
No, that's not that other dude with the grenades tattooed on his hands.
Oh, is that who it is?
Yeah.
But he's got a new name, dude.
I forgot what it is.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I know. He grew his beard. No more baby face.
Yeah, well, he's been at it for a while. Right. Yeah, so hey, I know we got a special guest coming in. Got Moya Brand fighter, Bill DeGrow Cooper, going to join us here in a bit.
Yeah, so I think we're going to be back in take a quick break, and we're going to be back with some more Matt Time Radio.
All right, we'll be looking out for Bill DeGrow.
You're listening to Matt Time Radio. This is Moya Brand. Call us 800-893-9562. Skid Row Studio.
I started from small crimes where others had big jobs. I was slinging small dimes, trying to make the come up. The blow used to numb up a few G's a week. My click used to sum up. So my brother got locked up, my girl got knocked up, my closest homie each got popped up and shot up. Cops love the block, no way to eat. So I dropped a half a G on a rented SP 1200 sampler in a Yamaha 4-track. The bass from the lab used to blow the fucking door back. My ghost was doing stick-ups, trying to make a Vic up, waiting outside for the breeze truck to pick up. Nothing would work, so we back to chopping nicks up, giving grown-ass women 2 vows for a dick suck. When I was stressed, I would head to the rest, then the pads on the SP 12 got pressed, making beats for the streets so the family could eat. In 93, Wu-Tang Clan dropped their first LP. We went flat. Yeah, we flatten them. Pockets got fat in them. Whitney got capping them. Statins on the map in them. Brooklyn Zoo was bombing them. All around the world, killer bees start swarming them. You can't stop us. You can't block us. Rock us or mock us. Knock us or top us. Better sit back and watch us.
No matter how hard you try.
If you gon' try and stop me now, I'll be ruckus the rhythm like the blocks be wild. Bad enough I got the cops trying to lock me down. Can't nobody break my stride or shake my pride without a homicide case and trial. It's a long time coming, long nines busting, cradle to the grave, I'll be on my grind hustling. Sometimes when I think about it, have my mind bugging. The shit that I've been through, things that I've seen, the chicks that I ran through, places I've been. I'm a victim of the very song I sing. It's how it is in the heart of it. Most want no part of it. Some will soothe the pain through booze and narcotics. I'ma hold my head, stay true to where my heart is. Either you pay with your life or you pay dues to homies.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop me now.
Everybody, we're back.
We're back.
And we're really excited.
Yeah.
Bill the Grill Cooper in house, everybody. Fancy. Give it up for Bill the Grill.
What's up? What's up?
Yeah. Just quick moment. We got Moya Brand sponsored fight of Bill the Grill Cooper. I mean, it's, at least for me, it's an honor, man. It's great. Great jiu-jitsu guy.
Yeah, it's an honor to have you in studio with us. We want to thank you for taking time out. And I know it's Sunday's usually a rest day for everybody and stuff, so thanks for making the drive out here. Appreciate it, Bill.
Hey, don't thank me. Thank Jay. He's the one that drove down here.
Yeah, thanks for driving, Jay.
Yeah. So I know you got a lot of things, you know, going on and stuff, and, you know, we've been following your fights for a long time, and, I mean, just awesome, amazing stuff. And so how long have you been training jiu-jitsu? When did you, receive your black belt?
I received my black belt when I was 20. I started jiu-jitsu when I was 13 years old. 3 months passed by really quick and turned 14. Glover got me into it. Mm-hmm. He was like cruising around the school where I grew up in Santa Barbara, Harding School. And he was always skating around, and he finally one day just came up to me like, "Hey man, you know, you should do jiu-jitsu." I was like, "Nah, I don't know what that is. I'm focused on my skateboarding." But yeah, that's what kind of got me into it.
And were you, did you play any other sports? Were you like an athletic kid or not really?
Or troublemaker? What was the deal?
Kind of both. I was into both. I was into the BMX scene, skateboarding, rock climbing. I was very into,
active.
Very active into outdoor sports a lot.
Oh, right on. Yeah, I know a lot of jiu-jitsu people. Yeah, that's kind of the, you know, their the thing they do when they're off there. They skate, they surf. It seems like that's a kind of a common thing with a lot of jiu-jitsu players.
You were up in Agoura Hills? Is that where you were at? Or
Agoura Hills.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, that's where I have my studio.
Yeah, it's pretty close to the ocean too, right?
7 miles. Yeah, about 7, 8 miles. Yeah, yeah, it's a good drive. Not like where I grew up, you know, it was like a bike ride away.
Oh, did you grow up in Santa Barbara?
I grew up in Santa Barbara.
Oh, okay.
Like 3-4 years ago, I just moved to Agoura and opened my own studio down there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they didn't have no jiu-jitsu, so I was like, you know, that's a cool spot to have jiu-jitsu. And, you know, my friends, it's also close by near my gym, other gyms, so I'm not going to lose good training as well. So
yeah, why don't you give a quick plug to your gym?
Yeah, I want to give a quick plug to ParagonAgouraHills.com. You know, check me out. I just moved down there about 3-4 years ago. It's pretty close to near like Calabasas area, Thousand Oaks area. So if you're in that area, you know, do a drop off. You know, come check out my gym. I got a cage panel walls, got bags, got MMA, got kids jiu-jitsu, got adult jiu-jitsu, beginner, intermediate, advanced, you name it.
Yeah, for people that don't know or they're just tuning in, you can check our Facebook page and just, you know, obviously not now, but when you get a chance, check out the YouTube video that we posted. Bill's YouTube video is pretty insane. You know,
well, you can go on YouTube and
yeah,
put in Bill the Grill Cooper, and there's tons of stuff that comes up.
Or you can go on my Facebook.
Bill, oh, there Cooper. You go. There you go. Even better, right to the source.
Do you got two Facebook? Do you got a Bill the Grill Cooper fan page?
I just started that.
I know you're running out of friends.
Yeah, they're saying, you know, you should start one. Now you got close to, I guess the limit's 5,000.
Yeah.
It's a normal Facebook, so. And now I got to start a fan page. I didn't know I had a limitation, so that's cool.
Yeah, that's good.
And lots of videos out there.
Well, you were saying too, you know, getting your black belt at 20 in that sport, is it common really, or that's a pretty young age, huh?
Yeah, as I was getting into the sport and reading up more on it, I heard it was very rare to get a black belt at that young age, especially, you know, in America, you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu being so new. Mm-hmm. That it was young, like, you know, very, very few had it. Can barely name off a few. Rafa Lovato was one of the youngest ones and the first American to receive a black belt. You know, one of the most legit black belts out there.
What year was that when you got your black?
I want to say 08.
08. Because I think I read it. I think it said you were, at the time, you were the youngest American to get a black belt.
Yeah.
At that particular time, which is, you know, pretty good accomplishment.
Very impressive.
People don't realize that, so.
Yeah, and just, you know, us knowing that, you know, still on our journey, you know, to our black belt, you know, that's quite a task, especially at a young age. That's a real accomplishment.
Were you able to just absorb everything? Did you just fall in love with the sport where you just wanted to do it every day?
Yeah, you know, it was a real eye opener. I was just really at awe at it. It was just something new. It was just something. Like my body was made to do. It's just I was like a kid at a candy store, you know. It's like, wow, what is this? This is pretty cool. It's physical. I get to like break dance a little bit, you know. I noticed because I did break dancing before, and I get to show my athleticism, and I could get to really show my body language, you know, express myself.
Yeah, that's one thing I've noticed in your matches. You're like a lot more animated, and there's you know, a lot more of your personality comes out, you know, in your grappling style that you don't see from a lot of people and stuff. And that's good too. I mean, it shows that, you know, how confident you are and you know, how well you adjusted to the sport. It's amazing.
Yeah, it just, when I look at that, to me, it looks like, man, this guy's having fun at a major tournament, you know?
Where most people
I go to tournaments, I get nervous, right? And like, I see this guy's out there just, you know, smiling already. Like, oh man, he's got something sinister up his sleeve, you know?
Yeah, well, it took a while. It took a long time to get that comfortability. I did a lot of tournaments. I did tournaments when I was sick. I did tournaments. You know, I tell people, oh, I'm going to get ready for this one, and then I hurt myself. But, you know, a lot of fans are still looking up for me, and I got that energy, and I believe in my technique and skill can, you know, take me far. And it did for some, and it didn't for a lot, you know. But I just believed in myself, and you know, I learned a lot from, you know, when being in shape, when I'm mentally there, when I'm mentally not there, and I see what I'm good at and see what I'm not. And just knowing is half the battle, you know. So if I know, you know, going in there I'm out of shape, well, at least I know that. As long as I know I'm not in shape and I got nothing but technique, well, I'm going to see where I fall, you know, where I fall in my technique. If I do make a mistake in a tournament, I'll know what I did wrong, you know. Okay, I'll know that I didn't have the intensity, you know, that I didn't squeeze that long enough. Well, I'm going to take those figures out, and I'm going to see, you know, what I could, how far I can take myself, and see what are my limits, you know, see what I could do with just, you know, 2 weeks of getting back in cardio shape, you know. But yeah, you know, you got to be careful though. As you're climbing, you got to be careful. You know, you get your black belt, and that's when it really starts to count. And you know, you got to protect your name too. You know, you can't just like take fights, you know, and half-ass and not, you know, 60%. You got to start now being careful. You know, people are now starting, you know, do the checklist, starting to count now.
So. Yeah, I think that happens almost at every belt, especially in jiu-jitsu. Like when you get belt promoted, you get people just trying to kill you, right?
Yeah, you know, I recommend if you're blue, purple, brown, you know, you guys got to go out there and you know, be relentless and be hungry. You know, don't be afraid, you know, to lose. And like that's not where it counts. You know, where it counts is black belt. And that's when, you know, you can't make mistakes. And that's where, because it really starts to count there. So when, you know, the blue, purple, brown, it's just like, that's just part of the road. That's on, you know. So, you know, I recommend you guys that are blue, purple, brown, and young in the sport, you know, compete as much as you can. Compete as much as you can. Get your skills at the very top, because, you know, you want them sharp when you have that black belt around your waist.
Right. Well, I know you didn't win, you know, Grappler's Crossover 20 times by accident either. You know, that's a lot of hard work and, you know, determination. And back in those early days, who were your biggest supporters? Who were the people that really, you know, helped push you and stuff?
You know, of course, my parents. I want to thank my parents, my grandma, you know, for making me all that Chicano Mexican food for me, you know, supporting me. I want to thank, you know, Tapo, Charles, Skyscrape, and Dan. You know, they're my major. They're like their first guys to sponsor me. The Tap Out crew, and then I went to you know, Jiu-Jitsu Pro Gear, and I went to you know, it just kept on passing on. But the majority of the guys that really started off was, you know, Frangia, Paragon, Jeff Glover helped support me, my mom, you know, Tap Out, Gilberto, Jiu-Jitsu Pro Gear. You know, those are my first guys that really, you know, helped go on prelude with my career. So I'm always fortunate. I'm very happy, you know, always have good things with all of them. I still keep connections with, and I still thank them. And especially when I get when I get crowned champion, I'm really going to thank them.
Oh, yeah. Well, too, you know, this is a funny story we're talking about off the air, but where does the nickname come from? I think a listener wanted to know.
Yeah, yeah.
The grill.
I was with my boy Glover, you know, where he had a little barbecue and had some people around. And at the meantime, I was already thinking, you know, about nicknames. I was kind of thinking about nicknames. And I think I was, like, grabbing some of, like, one of his meals. Like he had, like, you know, grilled chicken or something on his plate, and I reached out for it. And, you know, he didn't like it, so he palmed me. He hit me in the face with the grill, open palm, and he was bleeding. I cut him with my teeth. And he's all, "Damn, man, your grill. And I was like, "Huh?" Thinking, you know, build the grill.
It's putting two together. It's catchy, man. I like it. You know,
right. don't get me wrong, but like on the Facebook page, when I said, "Okay, Build a Grill Cooper is going to be on this week," and dude, really, I was thinking you're going to come here. I was thinking I was going to see Bling.
Right.
That was me. I was like, yeah. This guy, like, is he going to come off Mike Jones down here? Just like, bam.
He is after his next fight.
After his next fight?
You know, I don't have to pay for platinum. This. It'll be on my waist. The platinum will be on my waist. I'll tell you that.
Well, from your, you know, transitioning from, you know, from jiu-jitsu, when did you decide to start fighting MMA?
When did I start deciding to fight MMA? I want to say when I was purple belt. When I was a purple belt, mid purple belt, just getting my brown belt, that's when I started. I wanted to see where jiu-jitsu can capitalize. I wanted to see how strong jiu-jitsu was. So I mainly went for jiu-jitsu and MMA to see if jiu-jitsu could really work. And then I started doing MMA, and then I realized, well, you know, the striking's cool too, so I want to see if my striking could work. And now I'm just mixing it up now, you know. So, yeah, purple belt, I say I started.
Right on.
Okay, cool. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about your transition into MMA. Maybe take some callers, but take a quick break. We'll be right back with Bill the Grill Cooper, Moya All Brand, right. sponsor fighter.
We'll see you.
You're listening to Matt Time Radio. This is Moya Brand. Call us 800-893-9562. Skid Row Studio.
I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 fall. I wish I was like 6'9" so I could get with Leo. She, cause she don't know me, but yo, she's really fine. You know, I see her all the time, everywhere I go. And even in my dreams, I can scheme a way to make her mine. Cause I know she's living fat. Her boyfriend's tall and he plays ball. So how am I gonna compete with that? Cause when it comes to playing basketball, I'm always last to be picked. And in some cases, never picked at all. So I just lean up on the wall or sit up in the bleachers with the rest of the girls who came to watch they man ball. Dag y'all, I never understood black. While the jocks get the fly girls and me, I get the hood rats. I tell them scat, skittles, kabobble. Got hit with a bottle, but you're in a hospital for talking that mess. I confess it's a shame when you living in a city that's the size of a box and nobody knows your name. Glad I came to my senses, like quick, quick, got 6-6 in my stomach. Overcoming by thoughts of me and her together, right? So when I asked her out, she said I wasn't a type. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl with a good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I had a brand new car. So far, I got this hatchback. And everywhere I go, your wife gets laughed at. And when I'm in my car, I'm laid back. I got an A-track and a spare tire in the backseat, but that's flat. And you wanna know what's really whack? See, I can't even get a date, so what you think of that? I heard that prom night is a bomb night with a hood ratchet and old type. But really though, Figaro, when in my car, I can't even get a hello. Well, so many people wanna cruise Crenshaw on Sunday. One day I'ma have to get in my car and go. You know, I take the 110 until the 105. Get off on Crenshaw, tell my homies look alive. Cause it's hard to survive when you're living in the concrete jungles. And these girls keep passing me by. She looks fly, she looks fly. Make me say, my, my, my. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I was a little bit taller, y'all. I wish I was a baller.
All right, everybody, we're back.
Wow, man. That was like somebody turned the lights on and we're all roaches, dude.
Scramble, scramble, scramble.
Scramble, get out of here. Don't get stepped on.
You turn on the microwave.
Get it. No, we used to do that too.
I used to live in the east side, and every time I use that microwave, I live in this like real bad house. Every time I turn on that microwave, I just see a bunch of cockroaches started to split. I used to hang out in there, I guess. It was nice and warm.
Yeah. We used to turn our oven on. You can hear them crackling.
Well, dude, at least they had place to hide, dude. I used to live in this dump during my college days in Riverside. You'd hear the lights on, dude. They weren't scared, dude. They're like, nah, you're in our pad now.
All right.
Like, dang.
They're on the wall. I just got to get to the next wall.
Yeah.
One of them's eating a bowl of Cheerios. Yeah,
welcome, welcome.
Got to stand in line for the bathroom.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Yeah, so hey, right before the break, we're in here with Moya Brand, sponsored by Bill the Grill Cooper.
And we do got the phone lines open too. If you want to talk to the man, you can call us in at 800-893-9562. If you got questions for Bill the Grill Cooper while we have him in studio with us. And we were talking about his transition to MMA.
Yeah. So I know obviously, there's probably a lot of added pressure being like a top American Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt and all those tournaments. But how did you transition to get into MMA? I mean, how did that come?
How did the opportunity present itself?
How did the opportunity present itself?
Yeah, did like a promoter, like, you know, just came and found you at your gym or?
Yeah, they wanted to see, you know, what I felt was they're getting single martial artists that only knew one art, really. Mm-hmm. Maybe two at the most. Of course, striking is always going to be in there. and then some kind of groundwork or wrestling. So I felt like, you know, this promoter, you know, which was called Tough Enough at the time, was getting a bunch of fights going. Like, it was like the first legit amateur bouts in Vegas. So I was pretty excited, you know. I didn't want to just jump in the pros. And that's one thing, too. I did amateurs, you know, I wanted to build them an amateur record. And a lot of, I felt like I was jumping in a time where it was hard to find amateur fights. You didn't, you know, it was usually called smokers.
Yeah.
Or stuff
yeah.
like that, mm-hmm. right?
That's
and, you know, I was scared, you know, to attend. I did a couple. I did kickboxing ones, but it wasn't an MMA. And, but I found a legit MMA tournament, ran well. You did the weigh-ins before the day of the fight. They took care of you. You're in a hotel, you're a casino, you're smelling, you know, the
amateur?
Sick. Yeah, amateur.
Wow.
Yeah, they took care of me. They had gave me a room, you know, and then, yeah, it just really made it feel like, you know, like a real pro fight, like that I've seen on, you know, TV.
And what does your record stand at now in total for MMA?
My amateur record is 7-0, and my pro record's 2-0.
And then the last fight was, yeah, that rear naked choke defeat in Strikeforce when you beat Watson, right?
Yes, that was Maka Watson. Maka Watson in Strikeforce.
I think you're two. I was looking at your two Strikeforce fights were like 3 minutes combined, right?
Yeah, all my fights. My first pro fight was like 20 seconds with Sammy Rodriguez. Nice. He went for a kick, lost his balance. Got a good kick to my head, but he fell down and right where I wanted him, you know, on the ground, and took the neck, got guillotined.
Tell him the truth. Tell him he kicked the grill and he fell down.
He kicked the grill and he fell down.
And so now you are training for another fight coming up with Strikeforce, right? You know, what's the next event for you?
Yes, my next fight will be November 18th on a Friday. It'll be at the Palms Casino, Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Come support, check me out. Yeah. Come see the, you know, the future champ be crowned slowly but surely.
Hey, why don't you really quickly, since we're talking about your next fight, if people want to go support you and stuff, what's the website they can go check out your stuff? I know you got a bunch of videos and shirts and everything else.
Definitely. Well, first of course, you know, check out villainfightwear.com. Those are my boys for MMA that help support me. Moya Gi Brand. MoyaBrand.com. You can also check me out on Facebook. Check out my website for my studio, ParagonAgoraHills.com. Come, you know, support me and follow me on Twitter. It's BTG Cooper, at BTG Cooper. You know, follow me. If you follow me around, I'll let you know where I'm training, where I'm at, you know, who I'm helping out. Uh-huh. And, you know, follow me on Facebook, too. I'll let you know where I'm at, where I'm training, what seminars, what I'll be doing, what fights coming up.
Right on, and we got a caller online. Hey, caller.
Hey, what's up, man? This is Jesse from Moya Brand, and I just wanted
to...
Hey,
Jesse. What up, Jesse?
What's up, guys? Listening to the show, man, I just wanted to call and really just let Bill know how much of a pleasure it is for us to have him on board. You know, I followed him for years, and to me, when you think of top three American jiu-jitsu black belts, definitely Bill Cooper comes to mind, so we're just really glad to have him on board. You know, so I just wanted to thank him, let everybody else know it.
Nice, nice.
Thanks, Jesse.
So we're working on some good projects. Hopefully soon we'll see a Bill Cooper signature gi. So there's a lot of things that we're working on. So, you know, support your American Jiu-Jitsu black belt and, you know, check out Bill Cooper. Check us out. And, you know, thanks a lot, Bill. I appreciate it, man. It's going to be fun.
Right on.
Almost.
All right, cool, man. I'll let you guys get back to do your thing, man. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for calling in, man.
Always. Hey, thanks for the call, Jesse.
That was Jesse from Moya Brand.
Yeah. Well, he was in with us two weeks ago.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago. So for training camp this time around, has things changed a lot, or how is the training going?
Training's going good. It's always stay the same. You know, I'm always in the gym, same time, you know.
Same camp.
Same camp, same partner, same coach. I'm just drilling what's always been working with me since day one. Mm-hmm. So I'm never changing anything. I'm always, you know, always picking out the best parts from everyone else that, you know, that exploits it right and that performs it right. And then I, you know, mimic, you know, monkey see, monkey do.
And now looking forward from the next, you know, fight in Strikeforce, what is the big goal? What are the future plans for you?
Future plans. Get the Strikeforce belt wherever Strikeforce takes me. UFC, I know that I heard UFC bought him out, you know. So, you know, I'm just patient, and I'm just ready whenever they call. I'm ready. Well,
you're on the big stage now, and we're really excited, you know, to see your upcoming fights and to see you chase that title. We're really excited.
I just think, you know, like, obviously you've put in a lot of, you know, no plug intended, but you put in a lot of mat time to get where you're at, right? So I think when you get on that Strikeforce card and those guys up at Zuffa take a look at you, man, I think they're going to want to absorb you in there because, you know, you got that personality, you got the skill set. Looking forward to that fight.
I got the grill.
You got the grill.
No, you have to have the grill by then, dude. I really want to see that bling, dude.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Maybe a signature mouthpiece coming up.
If you don't know what Bill Cooper looks like, if he gets a grill, it's going to look like Paul Wall.
That's right. And then some.
do you know who you're going to fight next? I mean, you posted on your Facebook, your fight's already, I think, the 17th or the 18th, what it was?
Yeah, that's all I know so far.
Uh-huh.
And I have a couple heads in mind. I would like for them to give me Ryan Couture. I would like Ryan Couture. You know, Aaron Maka's fighting them. So, I mean, you know, hey, so I just beat Maka. I'm like, why are you, you know, giving him that name? I give it to him, you know, giving me him. So.
Hey, you walking in with a gi?
I'll walk in there with a gi. The Moya gi.
Nice. That'd be nice.
Yeah, maybe we actually can see that signature one. Who knows if it comes out in time.
Yeah, right, get a little sneak peek.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we just got a peek at that Blackie when Jesse was here, and that was
sweet or what?
That is nice. And, Jesse, you're still listening. Hey, waiting on my order, man.
Right.
Waiting on my order. I see people. We were out training yesterday, and, you know, the Moyagis are getting around. We're starting to see them, and I'm like, yeah, well, where's mine? I need mine. Yeah. You know?
That's because Jay's walking around making people buy them.
Get Moya for your geese. For your money.
They're free for a price.
I saw Jay getting his compliments on his gi yesterday. You know, I know Noguera and Junior Dos Santos saw him sporting his Moya brand gi yesterday.
Yeah, I rolled in it already a couple times, sweating it, man. It's a good gi. It's not well balanced. It's a good gi. I like it.
Get your pre-orders.
Yeah, get your pre-orders now.
Yeah. Right on. And, so yeah, UFC that I guess would be, I mean, you know, the biggest stage you can hit it, you know.
Well, you got four. I know your contract is for four fights.
Four fights.
So do they tell you, hey, it's four fights in a year? It's four fights the next 2 years. How do they do that?
You know, that's the thing. They can, you know, it could be
one fight a year.
Yeah, it could be one fight a year. It could be one fight every 2 years. That's the contract that I signed with. That I agreed to. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm just, you know.
So do you find
wait on the call list?
Yeah. Do you find it knowing that you have a contract a little more difficult to manage a school, your training, and training for a fight? Because obviously, training for a fight's different than just walking around and training.
Yeah, running a school, being a dad, and you know, having also a fighting team. You know that you know you're not just focusing on you. You got a fight team too, because you know you can't just, you know, be good without helping others. So I got to help, you know, my fight team so they can help me too become a better fighter. And I have a jiu-jitsu team, a fight team, a family team, you know, a support team, financial team. You name it, man. I got all kinds of teams.
You need that backbone. You need that support.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Hey, be careful because the Uncle Sam team might be listening.
That's right, Uncle Sam.
What money?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, he's got a lot of teams to support. I'm like, he needs to be making a lot of dope.
I already live with the Sam, so.
tough
as it is already.
And
I get in trouble for that. Watch when I get home.
is there anyone else now, you know, that you'd like to, you know, like to give a shout out to, you want to give thanks to for the support?
Yeah, I want to give a support to Moya Brand, first of all. I want to really thank him for helping me out. Moya Brand Gi, they're really, you know, cool dudes, too. I want to give a shout out to, you know, my coach, Big Mike, for really helping me stay focused, stay on the course. Jeff Glover, my boy that got me started. Ricardo Frangio Miller, you know, taught me jiu-jitsu, taught me life. And my mom and dad, you know, for believing in me and, you know, sticking with me and not putting me up for adoption, you know. So, no, I just want to thank everyone, you know, thank my sponsors, thank everyone that's been there, my friends, family, my haters, everyone, you know, like I need that. And thank you all.
And yeah, for everyone out there too, a must have for your collection, you got to pick up, you know, Bill's instructional DVD, you know, the Deep Half Card Killer.
Yeah.
That's out.
Hey, so how'd you come up with that concept?
Well, Glover was the man at the Deep Half Guard Killer, so, you know, he's always the one hitting it on me, so I had to come up with some answers, you know. I kind of just stay in his half guard, get swept and submitted all day, so I was just, you know, had to become a little Albert Einstein in that position.
So what percent, is that 100% Bill Cooper on that video, or is it a...
Yeah, it's 100% guarantee.
Oh, okay.
It worked, yeah.
Because I know, I heard there was some videos that didn't have 100% Bill Cooper on them.
Oh, yeah. You know, you got to be careful. You got to watch those, you know.
Watch those impersonators, huh?
Yep. They're out there.
I heard some have little or no Bill Cooper in them.
Yeah, little or no Bill Cooper.
Not even the grill?
Not even the grill.
Little or no Bill Cooper.
Got to get the full Bill the Grill Cooper.
Dude, this podcast is going the wrong way.
No, Bill knows what I'm talking about.
What are you talking about, Bill?
You start to the Ryan Hall videos.
Oh, okay.
And I'm sorry, Ryan Hall.
Right.
Oh, dude, okay. Oh, my bad. I'm sorry.
Ryan Hall's my boy, too, man.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Jeff Glover. Too. Jeff Glover. Sorry.
Yeah. I had a great match with him.
Ryan I'm sorry, Hall, Jeff Glover.
Well, he's the man.
When was that?
Get his DVD, too.
Yeah. He's got a good series of I think it's like a 3-set DVD.
Yep. I got him. I study him.
You do?
Yeah.
Just so you know his game plan?
He's legit.
Yeah. He's come by our place a couple times.
Oh, he has?
Yeah, like awesome. Usually during the big tournaments, like the Pans or the Worlds.
Nice. Did he triangle you?
No, he didn't triangle me.
Oh, what are you trying to say? He can't triangle you?
Well, yeah. He can't triangle me if I'm not on the mat.
That's the only way.
Is that a challenge? Is that a challenge?
Sure.
Awesome.
I'll send Jay on him.
Oh.
Can't triangle that neck of Jay's.
Yeah. Right on. Well, it looks like we're going to wrap up another episode here on Mat Time Radio. Thank you, everybody, for listening and tuning in. Remember, you can get the show on iTunes. You can download it, or you can come to our site, skidrow.la, and you can download the show.
Yeah, and just really quick before we go, go ahead and tell us where they can look you up, your gym. Where's your gym at? Villain Fightwear, Moya Brand. Go ahead.
Thank you. Check me, you know, follow my sponsors, villainfightwear.com. Got my signature shirt out. Got a couple shirts out, and they're making shorts now. They're supporting me on my MMA, you know, uniform. Also, check out Orc Bite. Check out Paragon Agora Hills.
.com.
Also, you can follow me on, you know, Facebook and Twitter, Bill Cooper, BTG Cooper, you know, at BTG Cooper. You know, so if you want to follow me around.
Yeah, anyone listening, if they're in that area, you want to get some world-class training, you know, stop by. Stop by, say hi.
Yeah, I also come down to the Hollywood BJJ on Thursdays, you know, so, you know, like I said, check up on my Facebook, my page, see where I'm at, and come train with me.
Right on.
Excellent.
Right
on. Hey, also, I want to give a quick thanks to my boy Hector.
Yeah, Hector.
For giving us your boxing insight.
Yeah, anytime, man, anytime.
Okay, then we'll see you Sunday.
I want to be here for that too. I like that.
Yeah.
Man. All right,
man. Well, thanks everybody.
Thanks for stopping in.
Yeah.
And everyone, go train.
You're listening to Mat Time Radio. This is Moya Brand. Call us 800-893-9562. Skid Row Studio.
We actually have a caller on the line.
That looks like they chickened out, man.
All right. Okay. See you guys. See you guys next week.
Get back on the mat.